You guys should start having like the Christmas story completely memorized because you hear it so many times. That's twice now that we've just heard that same passage from Luke. And we sing the same songs over and over. So is that the third week in a row maybe we've done Joy to the World and we might do it again on Tuesday and we're like, I don't think I'm going to come. We can't get tired of singing these amazing songs because the news that they sing about is so incredible. It's so incredible. Now, I want, if you can, just to imagine for a moment, picture what it might have been like for those shepherds who were there waiting in their fields. They're just like another night as is usual. And all of a sudden, the sky just peels back. And for a moment in time, the veil between heaven and earth was exposed. And there they are, a host of angels worshiping, right? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Like, put yourself in their sandals. There is no IMAX theater. There's no next generation virtual headset, right? No Dolby surround sound that could even come close to the real life experience that these shepherds have. Like, I know we've got like super low production value here. And all we can do is kind of just try to catch a glimpse. Let's just say we had all the lights, right? And all like the sound and everything was perfect and emotional, like we're crying at the end of that nativity. And by the way, it was beautiful. Thank you guys. Can't even compare to what was happening on that incredible night. Now, that is typically the vantage point that we think about for that incredible, incredible moment, right? Shepherds looking up, right? But I wonder, can we this morning try to capture the perspective of the angels looking down, right? They've come from the presence of God, the throne room of heaven. And this is, by the way, more than just a choir, right? This is the heavenly host. This is God's heavenly army. They are there to usher in the incarnation of God. And the veil has been pulled back, and they peek in, eager to see what God is about to do on earth. What must they have been thinking? There's this peculiar verse in 1 Peter chapter 1. I was telling Mike last night, I really wanted to teach from this one, but I'm keeping it short today, all right? And it would have ended up being a long sermon. But there's this really amazing verse in 1 Peter chapter 1 where Peter's talking about the beauty of the gospel, all right? And talks about this living hope that we have because not only did Jesus come, but he died and he rose again. We have this living hope. The gospel that we have is incredible. And what God's accomplishing now in the world through Jesus Christ, this amazing thing, and about what God will accomplish through Jesus Christ. And so St. Peter here in this passage, he says these particular words towards the end of this one section. He says this, and it's kind of strange. You might find it peculiar. He says, even angels long to look into these things. I like the way that the New Living Translation kind of gives us a little bit more, puts a little bit more meat on the bones. It says it this way. It is all so wonderful. That is the gospel of our Lord. The King Jesus has come into the world and the King Jesus is going to return to this world. It's all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Now, I don't know what you all think about angels, if they're just like the cute little guys who sit in the clouds, if they're like members of like the greatest choir ever, if they're just glorified like mail carriers going around sending message from place to place for God. Maybe some of you even think of them as almost like godly, with just great power. They're these heavenly beings, right? At some point, Mike and I, mostly Mike, might dig in more deeply to angelology for us and understand maybe why is it even important to understand how are these other heavenly beings that are with God and part of God's family, how do they operate and why are they important? Sometime we might dig into that. But at least a couple points that I think are important for us to know about angels. And one of them is kind of mundane, but it's important. Angels are not omniscient, okay? God is omniscient. In fact, God's the only one who is omniscient. In other words, he's the only one who knows everything. Everything. Only God knows everything. Which means that there are things that God knows, okay, that the angels don't know. All right? And we see that in this text in 1 Peter. Even angels long to look into these things. Like in the context of that particular passage, Peter's talking about the prophets, that the Lord was speaking to the prophets in the Old Testament, and he was giving them, those prophets, glimpses of what's to come. This is how I want to see this gospel unfold. And those prophets, they kind of could see just a little bit, and they would write it down, and they would share it, and they didn't even quite understand it. And what Peter's getting is that even the angels longed to just get a glimpse of what the prophets were getting a glimpse of. Okay? So similar to the way that we don't know everything that God is unfolding in this world, the angels also don't know, but they're excited about it. They're excited about it. And so that's what's happening in this moment at the birth narrative of Jesus. The angels have been eagerly waiting, longing to know, what is God going to do? How is he going to do it? Like the people who were longing for a Messiah on this side of heaven, right? That's us, right? It's longing, God, would you move, would you move, would you move? The angels were on the other side of that veil, wondering among themselves, what's he going to do? How's he going to do it? When is he going to do it? What's it going to look like? And then they get the word, right? Tonight's the night. Bethlehem is the place. Let's go. Let's go. And the veil rips open, and the song is just bursting out of their lungs. Now, why all this talk about angels? I know at this time of year, we love thinking about angels. They round out the nativity very nicely. It was a great, I hope you got your pictures. We got the pictures? All right. I want to see, because I just saw like backs of heads. All right. But we love the way they round out the nativity. The kids look super cute in their angel robes and that thing that's going around the deal. And certainly these angels give us this mysterious and amazing moment in Luke chapter 2 that we've now heard twice here today already, where the heavenly host of angels accompanies the announcement of the birth of Jesus. But is there something that we can learn from these angels? You know, for the past 3 weeks, we've been doing this series called A Thrill of Hope, which comes from a line in a song, O Holy Night, which you're going to hear in just a few minutes, where we've been looking at this beautiful idea of hope. And we saw just the breadth of what hope looks like across the course of time, right? Hope is something that spans all the way from God's promises to Adam and Eve, right? That a child is going to be born of a woman, and salvation is going to come from that child, right? Right? And then it goes to the birth of that child, Jesus, and all the way beyond, that hope extends all the way beyond into our future, the return of Christ. That's the span of hope across space and time. And here's what we said about hope last week, how we define hope. Hope is the expectation of coming good based on the character and promises of God. So I want you to consider this, based on this definition of hope, that the angels in heaven are, like us, creatures of hope. They are like us. They don't know how or when God is going to move in the ways that God has promised he will move. Like us, they eagerly look into these things. They're not omniscient beings. Like us, they hope and they long. They don't know everything. They don't see everything that God is going to do. They expect. Yes, they expect, as we should expect, coming good based on God's character and his promises. Now, that might seem like a rather inconsequential point, but here's the takeaway. What do they do with their hope? What do they do in the midst of that waiting and expecting? What do they do as they watch God? They worship. They worship, right? Like we've already seen this. They've longed for, eagerly awaited the arrival of this gospel message. A new king is born. That's what Messiah means, by the way. Your saving king is here, right? They've hoped. They've waited. They don't know. They don't see everything. And in their hope, they burst out in praise. Glory in the highest. God, you're doing it. You're doing it. And we sing, as we sang this morning, like, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. What's the message? Peace on earth. That's the gospel message is coming. Peace to the earth is coming. Renewal is coming. They're singing out, like, here's the gospel message. Glory in the highest. That's their response. The angels actually have a beautiful pattern of this in Scripture. Did you know that when God was laying the foundations of the earth, that the angels were there singing and rejoicing over the creation of the earth? This is before we come around, right? So, and they're God's heavenly family. And so the angels are there with God, watching what God is doing. And so God, it says in the book of Job, God says that they shouted, the angels shouted for joy at creation. Look what he's doing. Yes. Like, look at those, like, weird animals. Yes. Like, look at, well, I don't know why he did it like that, but it's incredible. Yes. They're rejoicing in creation. Right? Glory to God. Glory to you in the highest for what you're making in this world. They're watching what God is creating and they're worshiping. We know that when a lost sinner is found, Jesus talked about this, that the angels rejoice, right? Jesus said there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So they're watching. They don't know what decision a person is going to make about the Lord, but they're watching eagerly, expecting, hoping, right? And they rejoice. This is incredible. Larry said yes. Did you hear? Larry said yes today to Jesus. It's incredible. Read through John's Revelation, and you see glimpses into the heavenly realms throughout the book of Revelation. Chapter after chapter of the angels worshiping what they see, both who God is and what God has done. Revelation chapter 4, the angels sing, "You're worthy because you created everything. You're the creator of all things." Revelation 5, "Worthy is the Lamb because you were slain, so we're going to praise you because of what you've done." Revelation 7, they fall down in front of the throne and they sing praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. These all belong to you forever just because you're God. So the end of our Bible is like a hymnal of angelic praise to the Lord. And here's the amazing thing. We get to join in. We get to join in. God is doing it. There's hope, real hope. Like hope, is, we've talked about this. Hope is a fundamental, foundational part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. There is a king that we follow who's going to change everything. The brokenness that we see, the brokenness we experience even right now, there's a king who is going to come and change everything. He's coming, and he's even doing it right now. God's doing it. And we can pattern our worship after the angels, who eagerly, as we also can, eagerly watch for these things. The shepherds had a response. We just heard about it. The moment the angels left, what do? They say, "Let's go! Let's go!" And I don't know if the sheep went with them, like we just saw, but they went. They're like, we have to see this. The wise men had a response. Of course, we know they weren't there at the nativity at the same time, right? Nice work getting the shepherds out, and then, you know, the wise men come in probably a couple years later. But the wise men had a response. They get there and they bowed down and they worshiped him. They had been given. We have been given. The angels have been given this incredible, just their vantage point is incredible. The greatest hope that the world has ever known. And the angels are looking into these things. They're waiting eagerly. And they're worshiping as they wait. And so, the question is, what's our response going to be to this amazing message, this amazing thing that God has done, that God is doing, and that God will do? What is your response? And so we're going to end this service in praise, because that's an appropriate response. And of course, praise is more than just our song, our singing. We're gonna, in a moment, Pierre's gonna sing, "O Holy Night." And I encourage you just to listen to those words, but as we get to the final choruses, I'm gonna have Hugh put those final choruses up on the screen. Jump in and sing. I was just saying to the worship team the other night, Pierre got, he couldn't come to our rehearsal because the snow was so bad. And so that means I got to sing "O Holy Night" during rehearsal. And I said to the rest of the team, I was like, nobody ever lets me do that. This is great. You get to sing, okay? You get to sing. That's cool, right, Pierre? All right, so at the end, we're gonna have you guys join in. But at the beginning, just let it sink in, soak it in. And then join in the worship. Then we're going to teach you a new song, and then we're going to end with something maybe familiar to you guys, and we're going to make you guys the choir, okay? And we're all going to join with the angels and what they're singing right now in heaven, all right? So that's the map. That's how we're going to finish here this evening. I just want to pray for us before we step back into a time of worshiping our God. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have given us a hope that is worth singing about. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I pray that as we observe what you're doing in this world, as we think about your character, which is so good, and we think about your promises, which are so good, and we think back on what you have already done, which is so good, that our lips and our lungs would burst out with praise, and that our lives would be praise, living sacrifices laid at your feet, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.